And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. It's great to be back with you again this week, and we're looking forward to a lot of answers to questions that we have, that we always do. And I want to take this opportunity to say thanks to all of you that listen to us each week and send in questions. As always, we like to try to catch up with my dad, wherever he is. And Dad, where are you this week?
Jim, I'm down here in Memphis, Tennessee, right on the shores of the Mississippi River in Blues Country. And we have been here along with Brandon House. He is the man who has Worldview Weekend. We're going to be this weekend with him, and we're going to be in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We're going to be there for one of his conferences. Looking forward to meeting all the people up there. That will be after we do the opportunity of the rally, the radio rally in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So a busy weekend traveling from big city to big city. But we were here in Memphis with Brandon. This is his headquarters. We did four television programs. He has a national television broadcast, and we were thrilled and with the opportunity to be able to be with Brandon. Had a great time, spent some time of fellowship with his family and some other friends last evening. And we'll be leaving out tomorrow to make our way up to Milwaukee, where we'll gather for the VCY radio rally there in Milwaukee. If you're in that area listening, love to have you come and join us at that radio rally in celebration of the ministry of VCY radio across this nation. But a busy, busy time. You know, during 4 one-hour television programs, Jim, is not like falling off a log. You have to spend some time thinking there.
Well, thank the Lord that you've been prepared all these years, all the years you were on Day of Discovery and with John Ankerberg and the many, many television programs and interviews that you do on a yearly basis. Dad, you have a great opportunity as you're traveling around the country. You travel in your Suburban and you travel from city to city and you get to see a lot of things across our country. Isn't that correct?
It certainly is. We were just in a place called Savannah, Tennessee. Now, Savannah, Tennessee is one of those famous Civil War communities. I had a great time with the people at Sharon Baptist Church there. In fact, the pastor, Lonnie Ray, was a graduate of the Word of Life Bible Institute in Scroon Lake, New York, and I had the opportunity of teaching that young man. And so we enjoyed the time together with him and look forward always to be with pastors that we have an acquaintance or a ministry with in the past years. But after our Sunday ministry, we had a little bit of a time before we got over to Memphis, only about 100 miles from Savannah over to Memphis. So Mom and I went out to the Shiloh in Tennessee. The Shiloh Church was the center focus of the battle that took place there at Shiloh during the Civil War. I'm not picking sides. I happen to have been born in the South, but I'm not picking sides, but it was an interesting time. We saw a very informative film there, and I just asked your mom after we got finished seeing the film, I said, wow, why would these people really go to war, and what was the purpose behind it? It's something I want to study more about, but you're right. We love the opportunity of studying history, our history here in America, but any place in the world where Mom and I may be, Jim, we spend time when we can, when we have a few moments, looking at God's grandeur in nature, but also studying history. So, please forgive us. Don't tell the staff that we took about 3 hours off.
Well, you and I are both traveling the countryside. I just returned from a great prophecy conference in Auburn, New York, in the Finger Lakes region. And the Lord, the Lord really blessed there. A lot of people wanted to give greetings to you from there. They follow you around. They follow us. And we're on the Mars Hill Radio Network there. We're even on the Family Life Radio Network up there. So, you know, it's just great to see how God is blessing in our ministry. And we are just staying true. And we get so many compliments and thank yous from people that write in. Thank you so much for staying true to your teachings and to the Word of God. And I attribute that to your consistency, Dad, and teaching that in our ministry and what we're doing. And even what I think other men are like Brandon House and other radio interviewers and talk show hosts are recognizing that fact, even in the fact that secular radio talk show hosts are recognizing that fact. So we're thank you for doing that. Well, let's briefly, Dad, what are you going to cover this week on your radio weekend program?
On the radio broadcast, we have Prophecy Today Weekend, heard at 1 o'clock East Coast time across the nation, heard right on our own internet radio station, Prophecy Today Radio, or on a network of stations as well. We'll be looking at the report that Israel is preparing for a strike on Iran, a preemptive strike to try to shut down Iranian development of a nuclear weapon of mass destruction. Prime Minister, Defense Minister, and even the Foreign Minister are talking about the threat that Iran is not only to Israel, not only to the Middle East, the European Union, United States, but to world order. And what's unfolding, we'll get the latest information out of Israel on that situation. Also, the Palestinian Authority has gained membership in UNESCO. That's the United Nations Education, Science, and Cultural Organization. But this puts the Palestinians in a place where they can claim heritage rights to some of the great Jewish biblical sites. For example, like Hebron. Hebron is the location, the first Jewish community, 4,000 years old, established by Abraham, and the location of the burial site for the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Even little Bethlehem, where Jesus Christ was born, Palestinians want to claim that as their own, saying that Jesus was a Palestinian. And so this UNESCO membership gives them a place to be able to claim that as part of their plan to try to have a unilateral declaration of a Palestinian state that they're hoping will be approved by the General Assembly of the United Nations sometime upcoming. But I want to tell you, this membership in UNESCO and the claiming of heritage sites that are plainly, biblically, belonging to the Jewish people could bring about a religious war. Also, we're going to talk about the Arab Spring, which is now moving into the Arab winter, but it's developing in the establishment of Islamic nations, those who want to live by Sharia law, that would like to have an Islamic Republic, similar to Iran or even Saudi Arabia. So, a lot to discuss with our broadcast partners on Prophecy Today Weekend. It's heard at 1 o'clock East Coast time and across the nation at the different time zones on Prophecy Today Radio or on an affiliate someplace in your listening area.
And we look forward to that. Well, let's get right to our questions, Dad, and we've got quite a few to get to today. Ken Morgan sends in a question. He said, I've always believed in the pre-trib rapture followed by the seven-year tribulation period. My question is, lately I have got a question as to the timing of his return. I have taught and preached that his return is imminent, but lately reading from you and other Jewish scholars which seem to believe that Jesus will return on the Feast of Trumpets. My question is his return imminent at any time, night or day, summer or winter, or is his coming going to fulfill the feast day as he fulfilled them at his first coming? I would greatly appreciate any info that you can help me to have a better understanding of this subject.
Ken, I tell you what you've done. You've mixed the rapture and the return into the same category. You have to differentiate. The rapture takes place, then the seven-year tribulation, as you talked about, will happen, and following that is the return of Christ. They are not the same events. They are two different events. At the rapture, Jesus shouts, calls us, those who know Christ as Lord and Savior, up into the heavenlies to be with him forevermore. At the return, chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, verse 11 and following, says we get on white horses alongside Jesus Christ on his white horse. We come back, Zechariah 14:4, to the Mount of Olives in the city of Jerusalem. That's the return. The rapture, we're caught up, and the return, we come back to the earth with Jesus Christ. Now, the rapture can happen at any moment. It's an imminent event. It can take place day or night, summer or winter, as you said. That is an any moment event, and I believe it could happen very, very soon now at any moment. His coming, however, is going to be at least 7 years down the line. After the rapture of the church, there's a period of time before the seven-year period clock starts to tick. That's when the Antichrist confirms that peace treaty for that 7 years. That's the beginning of the 7-year tribulation period. So the Antichrist has to come out of the Roman Empire and then confirm that peace treaty. Those three things have to happen after the rapture and before the 7 years begins. At the end of the 7-year period of time, Jesus Christ, as I said, will come back to Jerusalem. I believe the Bible teaches he will come back on the Feast of Trumpets. Now, many people mix this up. I want you to understand, Feast of Trumpets is not for Christians, it's for Jewish people. The rapture is not for Jewish people, it's for Christians, Jews and Gentiles, who've come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. No sign, no indication, we're listening for a sound, not looking for signs to the rapture of the church. But the Bible did tell us, as you've studied these Jewish feasts, Christ was crucified on Passover, buried on unleavened bread, resurrected on first fruits, and the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost as Jesus had promised he would come. Jesus Christ fulfilled those first four Jewish feasts in the proper day sequences. Thus, to be consistent, he will fulfill the last three. Feast of Trumpets is the first one. Jesus Christ comes back on the Feast of Trumpets, not the rapture, the second coming, the return of Christ to the earth. Remember Matthew chapter 24 and verse 31, what does the Lord say? He says to the angel, take your trumpet and blow the trumpet and call a solemn assembly, the Jews out of all the corners of the earth and also out of heaven. So on the Feast of Trumpets, Jesus Christ will come back to the earth. Remember, that is not the rapture. These two are separated by at least a 7-year period of time. And Ken, I can tell you the rapture could happen at any moment, and I pray every day it'll happen this day. Any moment now.
Thank you, Ken, for that question. Another question from Ken Gooby from Canada. Ken says, greetings, Dr. DeYoung. I heard that there was a UFO that landed just overhead of the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem lately. I heard this news on the radio, and they said to check it out on YouTube, and I did. Wow. Remember my friend Dr. David Allen Lewis once said, he said, and I agree with him, that they're demonic. UFOs are demonic. Please share your thoughts about this event, and have you heard anything about this as well? Thanks, and we'll listen to Q&A with much interest. Love your internet program all the way from Canada.
Well, thank you there, you Canadians up there listening to our broadcast. And can you spread the word around in Canada? We'd like to have a great audience. We love Canadians. I love spending my time up there when I'm at the Word of Life Bible Institute there in Owen Sound in Ontario, Canada. So we'd love to have a relationship with the Canadians through our broadcast and through meetings up there. By the way, Dr. David Lewis was a friend of mine as well. We didn't agree 100% on everything, but most of our eschatology was pretty much the same. I do agree with him, however, when he talks about these UFOs being demonic. Demons can take on the forms of whoever or whatever they would like to take on. For example, let me remind you of the book of Revelation chapter 9. And there is a release of 200 million creatures of some type out of the bottomless pit. And this is at the midway point of the tribulation. It says, and the Bible calls them locusts, but I've never seen a locust like this. They're described there with the face of a man, hair of a woman, teeth of a lion, breastplate like a horse running to battle, and a scorpion's tail. Now, if that's not an unidentified flying object, I don't know what it is. I've never seen a locust, a grasshopper like that. Anyway, these demons that were in prison since the time that they had sexual relationship with women, Genesis chapter 6, that has been the case, and they, when released from the bottomless pit, will take on the form of these locusts and come down and actually kill one-third of the earth. Again, let me go back to what you say you saw on YouTube happening there over the Dome of the Rock. I also watched the YouTube presentation. I've heard that that was a fake presentation that was put up on YouTube. I don't know. I have not been able to look into that to determine if it was fake or not. Could it have happened? Absolutely, it could have happened. If it's going to happen in Revelation chapter 9, it could happen today. Those demons in that first and second heaven. And demons are basically evil angels that take up possession of human beings or whatever, right? Filling someone else because their spirits and can't be seen, so they take on the form of a UFO, for example. I do believe that could have been the case. I'm not saying it is. I don't have enough information about it. I'm just simply telling you what the Word of God says. But if they were indeed UFOs, unidentified flying objects, they were demonic creatures. There's no other creature out there on any other planet or star or anything in the galaxy.
Thanks, Ken, for that question. Brian Castro sends in one. He says, I need help ASAP as soon as possible. I had some Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door, and we got on the talk about 70 years in the book of Daniel, and they believe it has already happened. They also believe that Satan has already been cast out of heaven. Any advice that I can give them?
Well, if you go back, Brian, to that passage of Scripture talking about the 70 years of Daniel, that would be Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. You see in verse 24, it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and thy holy city. Well, that's talking about the Jewish people and the city of Jerusalem and a 70-year period of time. And that, we say it's years because of the fact if you add up everything, it doesn't come out if it's days or weeks or months to the period of time to even get up to when Jesus Christ was crucified, which was this passage does predict. In fact, in our church in Jerusalem, we have used this portion of Scripture to be the best way to try to communicate Jesus Christ as the true Messiah to our Jewish friends. But it's talking about a 490-year period of time, or as it's referred to, 70 weeks, the 70 weeks of Daniel. 69 of these weeks concluded, if you look at verses 25 and 26, by the time Jesus Christ was crucified, it says, and the Messiah, HaMashiach, shall be cut off, that's a terminology for his crucifixion, shall be cut off, and it says it will happen before the temple is destroyed, the city is devastated. That happened in 70 AD. So that locks into history. That indeed the only one qualified to be the Messiah was Jesus Christ, who was crucified prior to 70 AD, the destruction of the city, devastation of the temple. But that then leaves a seven-year period of time. We've finished 483 years after the 490, 69 of the 70 weeks. If you do the numbers, you'll be able to see that is exactly what the Bible taught was fulfilled. Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 19, verse 40 and following, said that if you have only read the book, you would have known that I would have been here today. He was talking, referring to the book of Daniel, in this passage of Scripture. That's where he stood there on the Mount of Olives overlooking the city and wept uncontrollably because of what he knew was going to happen. It was 69 of the 70 weeks. It was 483 of the 490 years, 173,880 days on the dot. Not a day before, not a day later, when Jesus Christ showed up. But that does leave a seven-year period of time, and that 7 years is that tribulation period yet to come. And we know it's 7 years. When you look at Revelation chapter 11, starting in verse 3, it talks about two witnesses that will have a ministry for 1,260 days. Now, that's 3.5 years. Then in chapter 12 and verse 6, it says the Jews will be protected for a 1,260-day period of time. That's another 3.5 years. So 3.5, 3.5, that's 7 years. And from chapter 4 through chapter 19 in Revelation, we see the seven-year period of time, detailed information about what will happen in there. By the way, you ask about Satan already being cast out of heaven. Well, he was cast out of the third heaven. Howbeit, chapter 12, verse 10 says he has daily access before the throne of God. Satan himself, the only evil creature that has access, and he accuses the brethren on a daily basis. But again, chapter 12, starting in verse 7 of the book of Revelation, we see that Michael, the archangel, the commander-in-chief of the good angels, will be directed by God to throw Satan and his evil angels out of the first and second heaven where they're located now, where we can see those UFOs coming in from. They will be thrown to the earth. Those in the heavenlies, chapter 12, verse 12, they rejoice. They say, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Chapter 12, verses 13 through 17 talks about how when these evil angels are thrown onto the earth, they try to destroy the Jewish people. Now, when you look at chapter 12 of the book of Revelation and everything before it and after it, you have to know that Satan has not been cast out of that heaven yet. he will, with all of his evil angels, be cast out at the midway point of the tribulation. The Word of God teaches it, and share the Word of God. I'm not sure the Jehovah's Witnesses are going to accept the Word because they believe they're part of the 144,000. Chapter 7 of the book of Revelation says that 144,000 will be male virgin Jews, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. But just teach the Word. If they receive it, great. If they don't, just keep on teaching the Word.
You know, I'm always reminded of the fact, study to show thyself approved. Be ready to give an account for what you believe. And Brian, thanks for coming to us with that question, and hopefully that answer helps you. Jeff has a question, and he starts out with two Bible verses from the book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel 35:10, he says, "Because thou hast said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess it, whereas the Lord was there." And he also gives the Bible verse Ezekiel 37:22, the last part of it, and says, "And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all." What two nations, what two countries, and what two kingdoms?
Great question. Great, great question. I just am excited, Jeff, about being able to answer this question for you. Because when you look at the passage in Ezekiel 37, verses 15 to 23, you have to come to the conclusion in studying this prophetic passage that there are going to be two Jewish states in the future. Remember, 1 Kings chapter 11, after King Solomon had reigned, he was going to give over the leadership of Israel as king of Israel to his son, Rehoboam. But Jeroboam, an advocate of King Solomon, took 10 of the tribes. They went to the north. They became Israel. Two tribes stayed in the south. They became Judah. Now, the Bible says they came back together. The book of Ezra, you study Ezra chapter 2, you'll see that all tribes of Israel came back after the Babylonian captivity under the leadership of Cyrus, the leader of the Medo-Persian Empire, and they came back into the land. So at that time, in fact, when you look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, it says, as Jesus is instructing his disciples, don't go to the Gentiles, but instead go to the whole house of Israel. On the day of Pentecost, chapter 2, verse 5, there were Jews from every nation of the world gathered in Jerusalem. And so all 12 tribes are back in the land. So the text there in Ezekiel 37, verses 15 to 23, two peoples are going to come out of one nation. There'll be a tribe. The Lord said, take two sticks, put on one stick Israel and the other stick Judah. Those are the two divisions of the past. They will be of the future as well. Then he said, when you put the two sticks in your hand together, they've come out as one. And that's exactly what Ezekiel 37:22 is talking about. No more two nations. And that's referred to in Malachi chapter 2 as well. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 18, I think it is. And that's the location where you can see these two Jewish states, Israel and Judah, will come back together. So, and again, then Ezekiel 35:10 is a proof text of what I've just said. By the way, these two nations come back together at the time of the return of Jesus Christ. His second coming, not the rapture. This all happens during the tribulation period. And you have to know that the nation of Israel is so divided today. They're ready. In fact, we have talked, Jimmy and I both have talked to people in Israel who are putting together the establishment of the second state of Judah. Mm. And we'll maybe take some time on one of our future broadcasts to talk about that. But Ezekiel 35:10 is a judgment against the Palestinian people. It's talked about a judgment against Mount Seir. Remember Mount Seir, the book of Genesis chapter 36. Mount Seir, verse 8, is where the Lord dispatched Esau, who became Edom, and who are the Palestinian people today, to live. Mount Seir, that's the lower third of modern-day Jordan, where Petra is located. But Ezekiel 35 is a prophecy of the future, and the descendants of Mount Seir, the Palestinians of today, will try to take back the two states, Israel and Judah. So Ezekiel 35, a proof text of what I've just taught you as it relates to Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 15 to 23. I call it Dry Bones and Two Sticks, the name of the message that I give on Ezekiel chapter 37. It's available on our study on Ezekiel. We have a brand new book is going to be coming off the press very, very soon, but we have an audio series on Ezekiel. You need to get a copy of it. go to our website, prophecytoday.com, go to the bookstore, and you can get a copy of the Ezekiel, a study, an audio series on the book of Ezekiel, and look for a book in the near future.
Thanks, Jeff, for that question. Great question. Dan Wessel sends in a question. He says, I enjoy Jimmy and Brandon House on Fridays on WVCY. Jimmy, a question. Luke 4, verses 17 to 20, Jesus is speaking to the Jews, and he speaks on Isaiah 61. When he gets to verse 2, he stops in mid-verse and says, this prophecy has been fulfilled in your hearing today. Will he, Jesus, will he someday finish that verse to a future Jewish crowd? Curious. Thank you for all your excellent work in Christ.
Hey, Dan, thank you for that question. And that is a very important question because that plays in the end time scenario that unfolds when Jesus Christ comes back to the earth. You're right. Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2 would be the passage of scripture that Jesus read on a Sabbath day in the synagogue there in Nazareth. And he read, let me just read that second verse for you, to proclaim the acceptable day or year of the Lord. He quit reading then. The rest of the verse says, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. What he was talking about there, it's a description of the Messiah in chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, part A of verse 2. Part B of verse 2 is referred to another time. Remember Nazareth, and this synagogue, in fact, overlooked the Jezreel Valley. So he knew to stop and not read that portion of Scripture because across the page in Isaiah 63, he, Jesus Christ, is going to respond to several rhetorical questions from Isaiah. Notice what they are. Isaiah 63, verse 1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dried garments from Basra? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save, would be the answer from Jesus. You see, Jesus is, after the Battle of Armageddon, going to walk 176 miles down a trail of blood as high as the horse's bridle, and he's going to go over to Petra to get those Jews who will be protected there in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Remember, Basra is at the entrance of Petra. That's located in Edom, lower third of modern-day Jordan today. So the Lord says, I'm the one that's coming in glorious apparel from Edom. Now notice the next question, verse 2. He says, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and all thy garments lone him like they had been treading in the wine vat? In other words, he's been stepping on the grapes and squeezing out the juice. And verse 3 gives his answer. Jesus says, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in my anger, trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments. Now notice, and I shall stain all of my raiment, for the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. That's the last part of verse 2 in chapter 61. That's when that's all going to take place, Dan. That's what it is talking about.
Great question, Dan. Dad, as always, I like to end our program on a question that comes, and it's of a personal nature, and you're so great at these questions. And Alex sends in a question, and he says, I've been listening to your radio program for a while now, and on Q&A last week, a lot of people were asking about the rapture. I am worried about my salvation. About 13 years ago, I was not angry at God, but was at myself and my family. I told myself I was renouncing God and religion. I immediately regretted it and have since turned my whole heart to God and asked for forgiveness. I am worried about being left behind at the rapture and about my eternal future. Thank you for being such a great inspiration to me.
Alex, I'm honored that you would say that we are an inspiration. Thank you so very much for those kind words. And your poor heartache can be answered with the Word of God. Let me just give you a little bit of information that maybe you didn't know about who you're listening to here. I, of course, am Jimmy Sr. I'm the father of Jimmy Jr., who is hosting this broadcast and a partner in our entire ministry. I remember when Jim was approaching his teen years, one day he came to me. Now, he had made a profession of faith early on in his life. But he said, Dad, I'm not quite sure that I know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I didn't try to convince him. He had already made the decision. I didn't do anything except, son, take your Bible, go to 1 John, read 1 John, and tell me what the Word of God convicts you of, or comforts you with, or convinces you of. He went to the book of 1 John. He started to read a couple of days. It seemed maybe a couple of hours later. He came back and said, Dad, I know I've been born again. I'm saved. And I don't think, maybe Jim, you'll have to answer, but I don't know if you've ever really doubted your salvation again, because you got the assurance from the Word of God. Mm. Let me tell you what, Alex, you go to the Word of God. Go to 1 John like I told Jimmy. I would suggest you read the entire book of 1 John. It's to help us know what has really happened in our life. But let me just give you a couple of verses that are just dynamite as far as I'm concerned. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. Listen as I read it. And this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and the life is in his Son. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have temporary life? No, you have eternal life. Verse 12. He that hath the Son, Jesus Christ as his Savior, hath God, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And that is essential that you understand. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. So if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have life, again, eternal life. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. Listen, Alex, not hope so, think so, maybe so, possibly so, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. There's the text. The only way we can be guaranteed of anything that the Lord is going to do or has done or will do in the future is by going to his Word. That's where we go, Alex, always to his Word. That's where you get the assurance, and I would just challenge you to read all of 1 John. Let it just bless your heart. Pray and say, Lord, show me for sure. Give me that assurance. Take away the old devil. You see, the devil's been bugging you, Alex. He's trying to make you think that you don't have eternal life. He doesn't want you to have it. But according to the Word, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have it. Read the book and get excited about what you do have in Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Alex, and we hope that helps you. And I know for sure, and you can know for sure, Alex, that you are on your way to heaven. Well, as always, Dad, we like to wrap up our program, and I'd like to give my last word, and I know that I always ask you to give the final word on our program. You know, as I travel across the United States speaking, I find people, and sometimes the question that comes out of people's mouths every place that you go, in churches, and no matter who, even if you're talking on a plane with people, sometimes people wish that they knew the future so that, you know, that they could prepare for it. And God has not chosen to give us a knowledge of when the rapture is going to take place. As we said, it's an imminent event. God knows when that's going to happen, but he tells us all that we need to know to be prepared for the future. And I know, you know, from the book of John and the technical interpretation of the book of John, but the spiritual application, I know that the Christ is gone and he's preparing a place for me, and he's going to come back for all of us that know him as our personal Savior. I have found out that I don't have to know the future to have faith in God. I have to have faith in God to be secure about my future. And I hope that you have that same faith in God so that you can be secure in your future. And none of these things that we talk about and everything that's going to take place in the future, they don't worry me at all. I know they don't worry my dad, and I know that they don't worry people that understand. They comfort us because we know that the rapture of the church is about ready to take place, and we want you to be pure and productive.
Purity and productivity, Jimmy. That's the way we're to live in light of the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Well, we have the assurance from God's Word that we can know we are ready. We're prepared for Jesus Christ to call us up to be with him at the rapture of the church at any moment. What's exciting to me as we study Bible prophecy and respond to your questions on Bible prophecy is we see Bible prophecy authenticating the Word of God. Many men over a number of years wrote these passages, prophetic passages, almost pre-written history, you could say, and we see them coming to pass today. So that gives us another assurance. And by the way, it helps us to be productive and pure. everyone that has this hope that Jesus Christ is coming within them, 1 John 3 says, there's that 1 John book again, 1 John 3 says, will purify themselves in light of it. Romans chapter 16 says, the night is far spent. Let's get in the action. Let's go to work for Jesus Christ until he does come. And 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12 says we can hasten his coming by winning people to Jesus Christ. So live pure, be productive. If you're prepared for that rapture to happen at any moment, and you can know if you're saved, study God's word. Hey, thanks all of you for calling us and sending in your letters and your questions. It's always a joy for Jimmy and I to get together to do this every Thursday. We enjoy so much responding to your questions. By the way, join us on Prophecy Today weekend. It's Saturdays at 1 o'clock East Coast time, right here on Prophecy Today Radio, or one of the affiliate stations across the United States. And until we get back together again around these microphones, this is Jimmy Sr. speaking with Jimmy Jr. saying, so long, and by the way, keep looking up. Jesus is coming, and it could be today.